You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Does it ever feel like your prayers just don't go any further than the ceiling? Maybe you pour out your heart to God, but wonder if He's even listening. In this study on Through the Bible, we get an answer to those questions through the life story of the Old Testament Saint Daniel. In just a moment, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, is going to lead us through one of the richest chapters in the Bible, Daniel chapter 9. We'll get to see how a righteous person prays, and also we'll get a peek into the spiritual realm and understand our Heavenly Father responds to godly prayer. I'm Steve Schwetz, and as you open your Bible to Daniel 9 and take your seat on the Bible bus, I want to share a few letters from our fellow listeners with you. They were chosen especially because they're from Through the Bible prayer warriors. The first letter comes from a listener in South Carolina. This program is a blessing every time I hear it. Sometimes the blessing is the Word of God pouring into my life, and sometimes it is the opportunity to pray for others who are listening. Whenever you read a letter from someone near or far, I pray for them and their community of faith in whatever country they are from. I am 84 and look for the Lord's return. I also look forward to meeting some of the people who ride the Bible bus with me. There isn't much I can do in the way of service, but I can be faithful in prayer and giving so more can get on the Bible bus to glory. Well, absolutely. Prayer is the very best kind of service you can give. So thank you for supporting us on your knees. Next, we have Jeff and Pam from Michigan. Thank you again for this meaningful daily email from the World Prayer Team. I can't get enough of Dr. McGee's thought-provoking teaching of the Bible, but these selection of prayers and needs and encouragement from around the globe are so compelling. Each one speaks volumes. The recent story from a listener in Germany was deep, especially as he was sharing thoughts from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. We live in serious times, which we know, but forget as we go about our daily routines in a somewhat comfortable environment. We praise God that we are connected to each other by this beautiful, expansive grace of Jesus and by prayer. Well, thanks, Jeff and Pam. Thanks for your faithful prayers. You know, you can see how blessed and rich we are at Through the Bible to have so many who stand together in prayer with us. Who knows how these faithful prayer warriors have opened the way for God to work through the mysterious power of prayer. We need your support, too. So you might say, why? What's wrong? Well, nothing is wrong. But the truth is, as a ministry, we really are dependent upon God to lead us in wisdom and also to provide for His work, the work that He wants done in His perfect timing. So we need you to pray with us. It's part of how God provides for each of us. So thank you for praying that God will clearly open the way that He wants us to go day by day, and also that this program will continue to bear fruit for the name of Jesus Christ. To receive regular prayer updates and requests by email, you can sign up for our World Prayer Team by simply going to ttb.org/pray. And to receive our monthly newsletter with regular updates on what God is doing through His Word around the world, then sign up at ttb.org or just give us a call at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Well, this small newsletter really complements Dr. McGee's teaching, by the way. You'll love the additional information and helpful personal application prompts. So sign up today. Again, that's 1-800-65-BIBLE or visit ttb.org. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want your name to be lifted high in all the earth, that men, women, and children from every tribe and every nation would turn to you in faith and repentance. So thank you for hearing the prayer of everyone who calls on you, first for salvation and then for help. Now teach us your word, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Open to Daniel chapter 9 as we go through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, as we indicated last time, the ninth chapter has been considered by many outstanding expositors, including Dr. Philip Newell, who calls it the greatest chapter in the book and one of the greatest chapters of the entire Bible. And I'm sure that many of us would concur in that. It divides itself in two major divisions. One is the prayer of Daniel in the first 21 verses, and then you have the prophecy of the 70 weeks concerning Daniel's people, and that's from 22 through 27. And this, by the way, is one of the most important prophecies in Scripture. And this prayer is one that should engage our attention also. However, I'll not go in a great deal of detail as we might otherwise, because it is a prayer, and it is a prayer that needs to be read, and we intend to do that today. Now, beginning here with verse 1 and 2, we have the circumstances of the prayer of Daniel. And will you listen to these two verses? The first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Now, first of all, we can more or less pinpoint this prayer in history. We are told it's the first year of Darius. He is of the seed of the Medes. And I think there are two significant questions here. Who was Darius, and what was the date? Darius the Mede may be identified as Cyaxares II of secular history. And we've had him mentioned before in Daniel 5:31. And Darius is more of an official title than it is a name. It's a title such as king or czar or emperor, and rather than an actual name. Now, there's been some disagreement as to the exact date, and I'm not sure that that's all important, but Dr. Newell puts the date at 538 B.C. Culver puts it at 536 B.C., but I think either date would fit into the background. But this man conquered Babylon in 538 B.C. Now, as we've already read, it was in the first year of his reign, Daniel, by this time, seeing another great world empire coming into position, he's wondering about the future again, and especially the future of his own people. And he begins to study the Word of God. He goes back and finds out that Jeremiah the prophet had said they'd be in captivity 70 years. Well, in the first year of his reign, that places this chapter in the same context as in chapter 8, and that'd be the third year of the reign of Belshazzar. And it means that we've come now to the end of the 70-year period. And it's about time for these people now to be given the opportunity to return to their own land. And Daniel was concerned about his people. I think he'd been shaken by that little horn in chapter 8, who was to arise and who did arise. That was Titus Epiphanes, the Syrian king of the Seleucid dynasty, who took Jerusalem and who destroyed the temple. I should say profaned the temple. And he put up an altar to Zeus there, or Jupiter, as the Roman name of him is. And Daniel was concerned about his people because they were to be certainly abused by this little horn that was to appear, and they certainly were. Now, the 70 years that God had predetermined for the captivity of his people is back in Jeremiah 25:11. Let me read that again. We've been over it before. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And then again in Jeremiah 29:10, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you, perform my good word toward you, in causing you to return to this place, that is, back to Jerusalem. Now, you must keep in mind that Daniel had been studying Jeremiah's prophecy about these 70 years. When Gabriel used the expression 70 weeks, we are going to see that he is extending the time of the 70 years, and the 70 weeks will cover the entire time of the nation Israel in this time of testing before the kingdom is established on earth. Now, we'll move on into the prayer before we get to the answer that God gave to him. And I want you to notice this prayer. Just to listen to it reveals how different prayer was in that day that it is to us today. Now, let me read, beginning at verse 3, and I'll read verses 3 and 4. And here you have the conditions of prayer of Daniel. He says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful, our reverent God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments." Now, you see, the Lord Jesus, he fasted, but fasting was never given to the people of God as an observance. It's something you do up and above. The Lord Jesus fasted, and it's mentioned in the early church that there were many that fasted. And the fact of the matter is, Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 11:27, and he said, "In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." Now, I think we should add here that Daniel demonstrated a purposeful persistence in prayer. You remember even Jacob in his prayer said, "I'll not let thee go except thou bless me." You see, this prayer of Daniel, it's very personal, and it concerns him and his people. And you find here the use in the prayer of the first personal pronouns, I, we, and our. And that occurs 41 times. Now, you'll recall that when we were looking over chapter 4, we saw there that Nebuchadnezzar used the same pronoun again and again. Well, somebody's going to say, well, what's the difference? For Nebuchadnezzar, it was a mark of pride, a mark of being lifted up. What is the contrast? Well, all you have to do is just read this prayer, and the contrast is striking. Here it denotes humility, and it denotes confession and confusion of faces, while in chapter 4, it's used in pride and self-adulation. This is great Babylon that I have built. But Daniel now is down on his face before God, and he recognizes the attributes of God. First, we see that he rests upon his personal relationship to God. Do you notice how he goes here? He calls him my God. He's the one that he's appealing to in a very personal way here. And he's making his confession. He dwells on the greatness of God. And dreadful here means he's worthy of reverence. You don't trifle with God. You don't play church with him. If you do, friends, then that's all you're doing. You're just playing church. God not only makes promises, and that is covenants, but he keeps them. He is immutable, therefore he's faithful. He's a God of mercy, and it was by his mercy that this nation had been preserved, and it's by his mercy that you and I have been brought to this present moment, and it's by his mercy that he saves us. You remember Jeremiah in Lamentations 3:22, "It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." In other words, God is gracious, and God expects us, though, to mean business, and he expects to be obeyed. Now, will you notice now Daniel's confession of sin here in verses 5 and 6? "We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. We have sinned. Now here Daniel identifies himself with his people back there in the land when they rebelled against God, which brought the captivity on them. He's specific in his confession. He labels each sin here, each iniquity and wickedness and rebellion and disobedience and their refusal to hear God's prophets. He writes it all down, friends. He doesn't leave any out. And I believe today confession of sin means just simply that. It just doesn't mean to go and say, I've sinned. It means to go and say, I've done this and this and this and this. And I tell you, when your wife sends you to the grocery store, the supermarket to get groceries, she just doesn't say, go down there and get groceries. She always gives me a list. You get this, you get that, you get the other thing, and 4 or 5 more things, by the way. And I have to go through that list. And I think confession of sin should be just like that. Spell it out. Somebody says, well, it's a pretty ugly thing. Spell it out to him. He already knows how ugly it is. But we need to confess it, and we need to come to him just like that. Now, let me read on here, beginning now with verse 7. And I want you to listen to this. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off. You see, they'd been scattered, but some of them were there. No 10 lost tribes, friends, according to the word of God. That becomes a misnomer, I think, today to talk like that, because here some of them were near and some of them were far off. But the ones far off are not lost, they're just far off. And he knew where they were. And he says, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass, that they've trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we've sinned against him, and he hath confirmed his words which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. Now, do you notice in this part of the prayer, and I'm not through with it, but will you notice now up to verse 15, Daniel contrasts God's goodness with Israel's sin. He contrasts his righteousness with their confusion of face, which is their shame. They were scattered because of the trespass against God. They deserved the punishment they had received. And God was righteous in sending them into captivity. God was right. They were wrong. May I say, friend, all of this type of prayer today that goes to God and makes excuses and say, Lord, you know that I'm weak, and you know that I was in this circumstance and that circumstance. Actually, when you start that kind of talk, you're blaming it on God. You're saying God made a mistake. May I say it to you? You're saying God may be wrong. He should have taken those things in consideration. He was hard on you. My friend, you and I getting exactly what we deserve. Believe that, will you? We get exactly what we deserve. And we need to go to God in confession of our sin. And this idea today of trying to say that God may be wrong in what he's doing. God's not wrong. We are the ones wrong. Now, this is the proper attitude each of us should take as we approach our God in prayer. And God will not utterly forsake these people, and he's not going to utterly forsake us, but he sure is not going to move until you and I get to the place where we can claim the mercy of God and not keep making excuses for ourselves. Now notice verses 15 through 18. And now, O Lord, our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown as at this day. We've sinned. We have done wickedly, O Lord, according to all thy righteousness. I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear thy prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate. For the Lord's sake, O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercy. Now, he concludes by saying, O Lord, verse 19, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Now, this is Daniel's petition and plea. He recalls how God had led Israel out of Egypt. He did it because of his righteousness, not because of theirs. He found the explanation for their deliverance in himself, not in them. We're told in Exodus 2:24 and 25, God heard their groaning. God remembered his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. You see, the only thing that appealed to God was their groaning, and God had made a covenant. In other words, God saw their misery, and he remembered his mercy. Daniel asked God to repeat himself by delivering them because of his righteousness. God is righteous, you see, when he extends mercy. That's what Paul said. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. That's in Romans 3:26. Now, this is the climactic plea of Daniel. He asks God to hear and answer because of who he is and what he's promised. No good thing rests upon Israel. Daniel doesn't plead because he's Daniel, because Daniel associates himself with his people, and he says, we've sinned. Daniel's sinned, you see. And this makes this all the more remarkable. God's name is at stake, and Daniel is concerned about that. Now, while Daniel was praying here, why, an answer is going to be sent to him. An answer is on the way, and we'll see next time that the angel Gabriel is coming to bring to him probably the most wonderful prophecy that concerns the nation Israel. but we're going to have to wait till next time to look at that. So until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
What a great study. Dr. McGee certainly gave us a lot to think about, didn't he? You know, you can join us next time for more great teaching in the book of Daniel. Until then, you can reach us via our app or by calling 1-800-65-BIBLE or our website, ttb.org. Now go with God and look for Him at work in the world.
Jesus made it all, all to be my own. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Our story on the Bible Bus today is just one step in a 5-year journey through the entire Word of God. Come along for the ride, and you'll study both the Old Testament and New Testament, discovering God's great redemption story. Is this your story, too?
Hi, fishing enthusiasts. Want to watch a local fishing show here in Brevard County in your home waters? Look no further. Go to YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show and watch all our shows, ranging from freshwater to saltwater. You can leave a comment, hit that like and subscribe button, and we sure would appreciate it. Remember, YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show. God bless. You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a wonderful opportunity today to, wherever you are, to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit and hearing the unadulterated Word of God. We thank the Lord for your listening ears and everything that you're doing, members that are in the body of Christ, and even those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Your opportunity is still available as long as you have breath to breathe this air that God has allowed you to breathe. Praise God. We love you and we thank God for you. Well, today we want to talk about the kingdom of God. Many people at some point have forgotten that the kingdom of God. Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God. Apostle Paul spoke about the kingdom of God. And I'm speaking this morning, praise the Lord, about the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is not just in word only. Now, I want you to get a hold of what I'm talking about. It's not in just word only. The kingdom of God is in power. Glory to God. I said power. Praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The power. Glory to God. And I tell you, when we demonstrate this power, praise God, because first of all, Jesus has told us, glory to God, that the power resonates on the inside of us as children of God. My body, praise the Lord, and I want you to grab this before we go further into this message here this morning, is that the Bible tells us that our bodies are the temple of God. So if your body is the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of you. Praise God. Do you realize what I'm saying? The Spirit of God dwells or live on the inside of you. The Spirit of God is power. Praise God. And this is why we allow the Spirit of God to direct everything that we are doing. We submit ourselves to His leadership. Praise God. Because the Spirit of God is power in our lives. And when we pray for folks that are sick, who's on the inside of us becomes an external expression in power, not just in word. Praise God. And bring forth deliverance or healing in the lives of the people. Praise God. Because we don't depend on our ability or our strength. We depend on who is on the inside of us. Glory to God. I remember Jesus saying, well, it is not I, but it's the Father that does the work. Praise God. I'm saying here this morning that it's not me, but it's the Spirit of the living God that dwells on the inside of me. Praise God. When I pray for folks, lay hands on those that are sick, decrepit, whatever the problems may be, I want to tell you, I believe that the work is done. Glory to God. I said, I believe that the work is done because the power of God, the kingdom of God, is on the inside of me. Praise God. Hallelujah. I remember when Jesus was casting out devils. Praise God. A lot of folks don't want to hear about devils, but I want to tell you there's one devil, but there are a host of demonic spirits. So what happened is that Jesus was casting out the devils, and what happened is that they couldn't believe, and they were saying that when he was casting out devils by the prince of the devils, Beelzebub. But I want to tell you, they blaspheme God. But I want to say this here this morning, that when Jesus spoke, he said, if I cast out demons or devils by the finger of God, glory to his wonderful name, that must mean that the kingdom of God has come nigh you, up upon you. Praise God. I want to tell you, the kingdom of God is power. It's not just words. And many people say, well, yeah, well, I believe in the kingdom of God. Well, demonstrate that power that's on the inside of you. Glory to God. Let it be demonstrated. Apostle Paul said, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I came in the demonstration, glory to God, of the Spirit and of power. You have the Spirit of God on the inside of you if you are born again. Glory to God. And I want to tell you, in your body is God's temple. Let there be a manifestation of external expression that will come from you, glory to God, on an outward deliverance and healing and whatever the Spirit wants to do, glory to God. It's an external expression because of the one that dwells on the inside of you. It is not you in the natural. It is the Spirit of God, glory to God, that is doing that work in and through you. Praise God. The kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You have, as a child of God, you have been moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Glory to God. And you are now, as a born-again believer, you are in the kingdom of God. If you believe it and know who you are and by faith have received that, you are in the kingdom of God. Now, the word of God tells us that. You've been translated. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's where you are. And you're in a kingdom that resonate, that has power. I said power, glory to God. And in that kingdom, there is a king, glory to God. And his name is King Jesus, glory to God. Somebody out there right now in radio land should be shouting that it's King Jesus, glory to God. You're in his kingdom, the kingdom of his dear son. Praise the Lord. And in that kingdom, there's power. I said there's power, praise God. And not just a kingdom in just words, but it's a kingdom in power. Praise the name of our God. Minister Gloria, listen, you know, we're talking about the kingdom of God. And I tell you, this is what God wants us. See, the word of God tells us that before you do anything, he's given us instruction. Praise God. Minister Gloria, you want to read that verse of scripture today in Matthew? Praise the Lord.
Matthew 6, but I like to read the 25th verse first. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink,
glory to God,
nor yet for your body. On is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But you see, Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first. That's number one, uno. The first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Praise God. Seek the kingdom first. And most folks, what they do is that they seek other things first before they seek the kingdom. But I want to tell you, whatever's going on in your life today, I want to tell you, seek the kingdom first. Praise God. Because there are many things that are operating in the and through the kingdom of God. And if we seek the kingdom first, as the word of God tells us, seek that kingdom first. And he said that he'll provide everything else. If I understand that scripture correctly, he says here that seek ye first, not second, nor third, but he said seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or perhaps seek the kingdom and his righteousness, or the way that God does things. Praise God. This is what we need to do, is to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he said, and all other things will be added unto you. That means that when I seek the kingdom of God first, God's going to take care of the rest. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
You see, because what we do is that we go around, we try to get everything else in order, and then say, well, now I've got all my ducks in a row, so now I'm going to seek the kingdom. But that's not what he said. He said, you do this first. Amen. You seek the kingdom first, the kingdom of God first, and then he says, and all these other things will be added unto you. Well, what are those things? My God, everything that was previously mentioned. He will add those things unto you, and not only that, give you a fruitful life. Praise God. Bless you abundantly. That's what he will do. Glory to God, because we are depending on him and not on ourselves or our abilities in terms of what we are able to do. But I want to tell you, this kingdom that I'm speaking of, my God, is a kingdom of power. And there's so many places today, you know, there are folks that are sick inside the church. There are folks that need deliverance inside the fellowships. There are folks that need all kinds of problems inside the fellowship. And I want to tell you that we that are in the body of Christ should know who we are in Christ, know what he has done for us on Calvary's cross, know that our body is God's temple and his spirit dwells on the inside of us. And I tell you, the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost should be demonstrated in our lives as children of God. My God, no wonder folks are leaving. They don't want to see all of this mundane and humdrum way of religion. They are looking for something. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They're looking for signs, my God. And what's happening is that all they're seeing is some old stale operation that's going on where God is not there. But I want to tell you, through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, glory to God, we walk around, we declare that the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of us, then demonstrate. I want to say that again. Demonstrate this power. Praise God. Hallelujah. I said, demonstrate this power that's on the inside of you. Don't talk about the power, but demonstrate the power. Most of us go around and we say, well, yeah, the power is on the inside of me. Well, I want to tell you that Apostle Paul said that he didn't come with enticing words. We don't need to entice people. We need to demonstrate the power of the Spirit. Glory to God. I said, demonstrate the power of the Spirit. Glory to God. And if you have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you, because that's where he would take up residence. Your body would be his temple, and his spirit is dwelling on the inside of you. Glory to God. And there would be a manifestation of an external expression. Glory to God. That's why when folks look at you, they see that there is something different about you. And when you pray for them, glory to God, they get blessed. Hallelujah. Not because of what you're doing, but because of the one that dwells on the inside of you. Praise the name of God. You know, Apostle Paul was telling us that the same Spirit, hallelujah, are you listening to me out there in radio land? The same Spirit, hallelujah, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of you. I'm talking about resurrected power, hallelujah. I'm talking about the glory of God. My Lord, my glory to God, hallelujah. The same Spirit that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in us. Glory to God. And I want to tell you, that power is the power of God. The power of God is on the inside of you. Everyone that is born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb, you have the power of God operating in your life. And this is why we need to stop talking about power. We need to stop talking about the kingdom of God and demonstrate this kingdom. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The word of God tells us that the kingdom of God is not just words. It is power. Hallelujah. I said power, glory to the name of our God, among many other things. Hallelujah. And this is why when we demonstrate this kingdom that's on the inside of us, hallelujah, I said this kingdom that is on the inside of us, glory to God, the kingdom of God, glory to God. Mensa Gloria.
Right. In Romans 14:17, it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, anything fleshy, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Ooh, Lord, have mercy. Say that again.
For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Ooh, Lord, have mercy. The kingdom of God. Glory to the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Oh, my goodness. You know, folks going around there talking about the kingdom. I tell you, we all speak about the kingdom. We tell people that we are in the kingdom of God. We tell people that the Spirit of God on the inside of us. We say these things. But I want to tell you today that folks out there, not only in Radio Land, but folks that are sitting in fellowship, that's why the congregation is dwindling down, because they are tired of talk. We are talking about something that we don't possess. We are talking about power that's not on the inside of us. Are you listening to what I'm saying out there in Radio Land? Folks want to see something. I said folks want to see something. They don't want to just hear words. And all of us are guilty of it. My God, when we lay down at the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in prayer and allow his anointing and his power to be demonstrated in and through us, glory to God, folks will begin to see the signs, hallelujah, that there's a real, real power that's demonstrated in and through you, glory to God. Many folks today are just looking at some old dead preacher in a dead church preaching a dead sermon. There's no life to it. But I want to tell you, this thing is supposed to, by the power of the living God, be demonstrated in our lives. I remember when I was growing up, folks used to say, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Glory to God. He's on the inside and he's working on the outside. Oh, what a God that we serve. I'm telling you, it's power. And all of us, we should be praying, saying, Lord, help us that your presence and your power and your anointing and everything that you represent that have taken place in our lives should be demonstrated so that folks can see that you have truly, number one, have called us. That's the first thing, that he has called us. Because whom God has called, he demonstrates his power through them. Now, that's what the word of God says. Now, you can look at Matthew 10, and you can see when Jesus called his disciples together, and he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out. And he commanded them, so you go. He didn't say, pray for the sick. He said, you go and you heal the sick. That's what he said. Don't take no purse. Oh, my God. All of us depend totally upon me, because I'm going to make way for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I tell you today that we are depending upon ourselves. We try to prepare a script. We try and do all of these things here instead of depending on the Holy Spirit. All of us are guilty. I said all of us are guilty. There aren't any that's exonerated from what I'm talking about. We all are guilty. But the time is coming and is now where we, as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, will sit at the feet of the master, listen to his voice. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Listen to the voice of Jesus and say, Master, glory to God, teach me more. Let your presence be manifested in and through me. Demonstrate your power. You are the king of this kingdom that I'm, my God, demonstrate your power through me. Praise God. And I tell you, many folks will see the signs. I said they will see the signs. Glory to God. Because that's what they're looking for. This is why people are running from one church to another. They're just hopping over from one church to another. They are looking for something. Glory to God. My Lord, they're looking for signs. They not only want to hear somebody saying, well, yeah, I got the power, but there's nothing demonstrated. I'm telling you, out there in Radio Land, we all are guilty. Let us lay at the feet of Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to manifest himself in and through us. Glory to God, because you're in the kingdom of God. You're no longer in the kingdom of darkness. We know who we are. We are children of the Most High God. We have the power of God operating on the inside of us, but we must let it be a manifestation. Many people are claiming the power is on the inside of them. Well, demonstrate that power. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said demonstrate that power. My God, let that power be manifested through you. Praise God. It is not you that's doing the work. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. My body is the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of me. Let the Spirit of God be manifested so that the work can be done. Glory to God. So folks can be healed. Folks are sitting in churches confused, oppressed of the devil. But I want to tell you, it shouldn't be that way. There is power in the name of Jesus. Let the power of the Holy Ghost be demonstrated in your life. Glory to God. And in those that come for prayer, those that need healing. You can't heal anyone. It's the healers on the inside of you. Glory to God. You can't set nobody free. It's the one on the inside that sets folks free. Glory to God. Through the truth of his word. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Mr. Gloria, hallelujah. I thank the Lord for his power. Glory to God. I know who I am, and you should know who you are in the kingdom of God. The Spirit of the living God dwells on the inside of us. Glory to God. I remember Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and he told them, he said, listen, the king, they're looking for a sign. They're looking for the kingdom. See, natural eyes looking for a natural kingdom. But Jesus told them, said, my God, he didn't say my God, but Jesus told them, said, listen, the kingdom of God does not come by way of observation. In other words, you don't see this thing. There's a demonstration of this kingdom. Hallelujah. What he said, that the kingdom of God does not come by way of observation, but the kingdom of God is in you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, when he said that, the Pharisees were looking for a natural kingdom, but there is no natural kingdom. This kingdom is not with observation. Praise God. And I still look at that verse of scripture where he told them that the kingdom of God is within you. And the kingdom of God is within all of us that are born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Because the word of God tells me that I've been translated. Glory to God. I'm in that kingdom and the kingdom is in me. Praise God. I said, I'm in that kingdom. And that kingdom is on the inside of me. That kingdom is power. Praise God. Folks today are tired of just hearing lip service, organized sermons, all of this stuff that they do in their own ability instead of allowing the power of the Holy Ghost to be manifested in their lives. I say we all are guilty. Some folks go to the internet and get their sermons and give to the church. But I want to tell you, we must depend on the one that is on the inside of us, and that's the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He dwells on the inside of us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lay at the feet of Jesus. That's figurative language. Lay at his feet. Depend on him and allow him to manifest himself in us. I tell you, we all are guilty. But today, after you heard what I said, you can, you have the opportunity to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to manifest his presence in and through us. Praise God. I thank you all out there in Radio Land for listening. And just remember what the Word of God says. As a born-again believer, you have been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Until the next time, I pray for your safety and pray that you will hear the voice of God, because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. God bless y'all. Until the next broadcast.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida, 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.